राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकचार्य आश्रितोत्तर शतश्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन वैसेसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकचार्य आश्रितोत्तर शतश्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन वैस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडराचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की प्रिंस कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सुभाष अधिगौर भक्त वृंद की ग्रंथराशिमं भागवतं की निताय गौर प्रेमनंदी। ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरिस टू श्री गुरु वंशी गौरंगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We read them from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, entitled Liberation, Chapter 20, entitled The Dynasty of Puru. Text 37 all the way to text number 39, the end of the chapter. With time, we chant together. Tam tyaktu kamam mamatam bhartustyaga vishankitam nama nirvachanam tasya Shlokan imam surajaku tam tyaktu kaman mamatam bhartustyaga vishankirtakitam nama nirvachanam tasya shlokan imam surajaku tyaktu kaman mamatam bhartustyaga vishankitam nama nirvachanam tasya shlokam imam surajagu.
Come back.
Kaman, who was trying to avoid Mamatam unto Mamata Bharatu Tyagaba Vishankitam, very much afraid of being forsaken by her husband because of giving birth to an illegitimate son. Nama Nirvachanam, a name-given ceremony, or Nama Karana, Tasya, to the child, Shlokam, verse, Enam, this, Suraha, the demigods, Jaguhu, enunciated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Mamata very much feared being forsaken by her husband for giving birth to an illegitimate son, and therefore she considered giving up the child. But then the demigod solved the problem by enunciating a name for the child. Purport. According to Vedic scriptures, whenever a child is born, there are some ceremonies known as Jata Karma or Namakarana, in which learned brahmanas, immediately after the birth of the child, make a horoscope according to astrological calculations. But the child to which Mamata gave birth was begotten by Brihaspati irreligiously. For although Mamata was the wife of Utatya, Brihaspati made her pregnant by force. Therefore, Brihaspati became Bharata. According to Vedic culture, a wife is considered the property of her husband, and son born by illicit sex is called Dvaja. The common word is still common in Hindu society for such a son is Dogla, which refers to a son not begotten by the husband of his mother. In such situation, it is difficult to give the child a name according to proper regulated principles. Mamata therefore was perplexed, but the demigods gave the child the appropriate name Bharadvaja, which indicates that the child born illegitimately should be maintained by both Mamata and Brihaspati. Text number 38. Mudhe Bhara Dvajan Imam. Sorry, Mudhe Bhara Dvajan Imam. Bhara Dvajan Brihaspate. Jatojat Uttapitaro. Bharadvajastatatvajam. Translation. Brihaspati said to Mamata, quote, "You foolish woman, although this child was born from the wife of one man through the semen discharged by another, you should maintain him." Upon hearing this, Mamata replied, quote, "O Brihaspati, you maintain him." After speaking in this way, Brihaspati and Mamata both left. Thus the child was known as Bharadvaja. Text 39. चद्यामाना सुरा एवं मत्वा बीताहम आत्मजन व्यासिजं मारुतो भीभ्रं दतो दंभी तते न्वजे न्वजे। Translation: although encouraged by the demigods to maintain the child, Mamata considered him useless because of his illicit birth, and therefore she left him. Consequently, the demigods known as Maruts maintained the child. And when Maharaj Bharat was disappointed for want of a child, the child was given to him as his son. From this verse, it is understood that those who are rejected from the higher planetary systems are given a chance to take birth in the most exalted families on this planet Earth. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 9th canto, 20th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasty of Puru. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Rupa Swami Tinamine Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine Vancha kalpa taruvyasya kripa sindhu vyaiva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. So the narration of this passage continues, it's going to continue. We're going to see a little more. I didn't have much time for preparing. Radha Raman Prabhu is feeling a little sick, so I have to replace him. But I had time to do a little search on the Mahabharata account on this situation. Just as we heard previously, so Brihaspati, he approached Mamata and he forcibly impregnated her. Although disregarding her complaint and disregarding the complaint of the child within the womb. The child within the womb of Mamata was to be a great sage. His name is, let me see here. Let me see, I don't find it here. Give me just 1 second. Was to be a great sage, or is a great sage, although just 1 second, okay? Yeah, Dirga Thomas, the name Dirga Thomas is because he was cursed by Brihaspati to be blind. It's quite like Krishna Archana was mentioning yesterday, it's a bit perplexing that such a elevated personality, you know, actually we hear several things here of elevated personalities doing something that doesn't necessarily seem very elevated, actually. Seems very, very, very bad. So in this case, we have Brihaspati, who is the spiritual master of the demigods, the son of Atrimuni, who was a direct son of Lord Brahma, one of the seven sages, the Sapta Rishis, direct sons of Brahma, so he's just right there. And he becomes attracted to the wife of his elder brother, which is like, come on. And he's already married to a beautiful, qualified heavenly lady, Tara. We hear the narration, of, in the mid of this canto, canto 9, about the result of all this choice that he made, like Krishna Archana mentioned it yesterday, that you make this type of choice based on trying to fulfill your desires to enjoy, and you sort of deviate from the principles of religion, then the result is all kinds of obstacles and difficulties. And she was mentioning yesterday about the Varna Samskara. The context is different in one sense, but the result of tremendous amounts of obstacles, the principle remains the same. You know, we're talking about higher levels of consciousness in the heavenly regions. So, but it created so much problem for Brihaspati, unnecessary, because he couldn't control whatever lusty desire he experienced for whatever reason or however that happened. Prabhupada said, if it can happen to a personality of such an elevated position, what to speak of ourselves? So, we have to be very careful. And that in itself is a whole important element of discussion for all of us to remember. We cannot take it for granted that, oh, I got a control. This is a very powerful force. The desire to enjoy this material world, to lord over this material world. So it can affect even personalities of such a stature as Brihaspati. So he, by force, impregnated the wife of his brother, although she was already pregnant, and was already pregnant to beget a very powerful sage. These are such powerful personalities. When she said to Brihaspati, please stop. This is not right. Not only your brother, but I impregnated right now. I have a child who is actually studying the Vedas within the womb. This is not ordinary personalities. He is learning the Vedas within her womb. So it's like, you know, it's like the Bhakti Shastra is, you know, happening there and the whole thing. Well, more than that, obviously. He's studying the Vedas within my womb. He's a great personality. He's already occupying the space. So there's no space, if you force this situation, there's no space for another child in my room. It's already occupied, and this child that is within the womb is a very qualified personality. So please stop. And Brihaspati didn't hear about it. He said, you know, he flaws himself. And then the child within the womb complained. We heard that yesterday. He says, you know, yeah, that's me. Anyway, don't worry about him. And he said, there's no space here. Please don't. You know, he's peaceful there. Please don't. And then Brihaspati actually became annoyed with this child trying to stop him. So he cursed him. We heard that yesterday. To be blind. So he was not able to see anything of what's happening. Like, you know, it's gonna... So anyway, he was named Dirghatama, which means someone who is engulfed by darkness, blind. So Brihaspati impregnated, and then the embryo, the child that was born there, when was going to be also situated in the womb, was kicked out of the womb by Dirghatamas. So the child took birth. And then we come to this situation right now that the parents didn't want to accept the child. So Brihaspati didn't want to claim the child. So he says to Mamata, enjoy this child who is being fathered by someone else. So enjoy this. Bhara means to maintain, to enjoy. And Dvaja means that it's going to be maintained by two. Dvaja, two. So by the demigods put this name to the child, someone who should be maintained and protected by two, by the two parents, although he is illegitimate. But none of them accepted. And Mamata was concerned and afraid that her husband was going to reject her, and because his son was begotten illegitimately, then she deserted him. So she didn't, she abandoned him. And so Brihaspati, so then the demigods, the Maruts, they took care of this boy. His name was Bharadvaj, and he became a celebrated sage. So just see, this is just not, it's not, you know, the regular Varnashankaras that many of us are, or took birth, you know, like that. You know, that we're, many of us are the result of the union of our father and mother, who were definitely, totally not Krishna consciousness. Their consciousness was in some other place. The sensual enjoyment and very, very likely intoxication and like that. So so that's when, you know, we come into this world, many of us comes into this world with a great disadvantage in terms of samskaras or impressions in our consciousness. So we have to go through a whole life of purification to try to, you know, get rid of these samskaras. So it's not like that, this situation. This personality, even though his conception and his birth was illegitimate, he became a great sage because of the stature of Brihaspati and the stature of Mamata. Elevated personalities. So the result, even the result of something like that in the heavenly planets is a result of a great sage, celebrated sage, Bharadvaj. Bharadvaj Muni became later the father of Drona, who became the teacher of the Pandavas and the Kurus, the military teacher, and such a central character in the Mahabharata. So Bharadvaj Muni was taken care by the demigods, Maruts. And then we hear earlier in the beginning, chapter 14, we're now in chapter 20. So there's repercussions of this, what happened, this choice that Brihaspati had. Brihaspati's wife, Tara, was very unhappy when she heard that he forced himself on Mamata. And she then left him, left Brihaspati for Chandra, the demigod Soma, the moon god. So she abandoned Brihaspati and went and became united with the demigod, the Chandra. They have this romantic thing, and then she left and became impregnated by Chandra. Now, in the beginning of chapter 14, when the narration now of the dynasty of the moon, Chandra's dynasty, then this was the first son. I refresh you a little bit this part of the narration. So this is the thing, that this type of choices, when we deviate from Dharma, then we have to bear the consequences. It's going to be a lot of hellish obstacle situations, unnecessary. You just take you simply to stick to acting according to religious principles. And the more responsible and elevated you are, the result of those deviations are more clear. Clearing? They're very graphic immediately. And sometimes with people that are very in the mode of ignorance or passion, you don't see the results immediately. It's like I say, there's nectar in the beginning, they look like this enjoyment, and there's all, but what it comes back after that is pretty hellish. So, Srila Shukadeva Goswami narrates the dynasty of the moon. And then he said, after conquering the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary system, Soma, the moon god, performed a great sacrifice known as Rajasuya Yagya. Because he was very much puffed up, he forcibly kidnapped Brihaspati's wife, whose name was Tara. Though in the Mahabharata, it says that Tara, so it was also consensual. She was not, she didn't want to be with Brihaspati, and she took that as a reason to look up to Soma, who also, you know, someone else's wife, you know, that drama, why taking that drama on? And then he's also, by his choice, going to have to face some consequences. Of course, you know, we're talking about these great personalities like we're passing. It's very important that we remember that we cannot judge these personalities with the ethics and morality that we're accustomed in our level. You know, these are heavenly regions, you know, much, much higher levels of consciousness. So we have to be careful about that, you know, we're trying to relate it to. But in principle, you know, the principles remain the same. Although requested again and again by Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, Soma did not return Tara. This was due to his false pride. Consequently, a fight ensued between the demigods and the demons. So, Brihaspati was, although Chandra is a demigod, because Brihaspati was the spiritual master of the demigods sort of joined Brihaspati, and Sukracharya, who was inimical or competitive towards Brihaspati, he's the spiritual master of the demons, then he joined Chandra, and then the demons joined him. So there was this battle. And this big battle, I'm going to just narrate it, you know. This big battle ensued, and then Lord Brahma have to get involved, and he approached Tara and basically convinced her, just brought her to her senses, you know. You see, all these things is happening because you are doing this. You are the wife of Brihaspati. Just come back to your husband. So she relented and she came back. However, she was pregnant. So what comes around goes around. She was pregnant. He gave birth to this beautiful, beautiful child. His name was Buddha. Not Lord Buddha of later in Kali Yuga, but this was back then in the beginning of this in Divya Yuga. And Brihaspati, whose child is this? He wanted to know. Tara didn't want to say. Big scandal in the society of demigods. This is all, you see how bang, 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 one domino does the other one, and then blah, 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 blah. One effect causes another, causes another, causes another. She didn't want to say this big scandal. Finally, she relented. And she said, it's Chandra's. Chandra went to claim his son. Perhaps as he said, no, this is my wife. It's my son. And so on. You know, the narration goes. Meanwhile, back into Bharadwaj, and Bharat Maharaj, the emperor, he has three wives, and in each of three wives he had three sons, nine altogether. As per Bharat Maharaj, none of them was qualified
to succeed him as the emperor. They were not qualified. They didn't have the same qualities. It is explained in the verse as Bharat Maharaj. So he rejects them. They are not going to be the successors. They are not qualified to lead, for whatever reason that I didn't find out. Something also shocking, how again this society is back in time. You know, this is Dwarpa Yuga, or I don't know, someone back there. The queens of Bharat Maharaj, fearing that he was going to reject him and neglect him, kill all the 9 sons. Who can understand? Bharat Maharaj was concerned about who's going to, how he needed a son. And as he laments for a son and perform a yajna, then the demigods, the Maruts demigods, offer him this abandoned child that they took care, Bharadvaj. Bharadvaj becomes the son of Bharat Maharaj. But Bharadvaj is a sage, he's not a kshatriya. So what to do? You know, a kshatriya must be in place to actually rule. And Bharadvaj Muni was a sage. So on the request of Bharat Maharaj, Bharadvaj Muni performed a sacrifice, and to that sacrifice he begat a son. Begot a son. This son, his name was in this, right in the next chapter. That's how it begins. Manu. And Manu became the next emperor. So Bharat Maharaj, Manu in one sense also is considered a son of Bharat Maharaj. Is that he adopted Manu, and although it is explained here in the narration that is the son of Bharadvaj. He was adopted by Bharat Maharaj and he became the next emperor. And then in the next chapter we hear how the sons of Manu becomes, you know, the next generations and the dynasty of Bharat. So this is how all this more or less drama evolves. And now it comes, you know, again, the principles that are constantly being portrayed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as yesterday part of the discussion was the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but also there are things here that sometimes is beyond our comprehension, or our experience, our wellness experience. Nevertheless, the message remains the same. The message remains, these are examples of great personalities who perfectly embrace the principles of religions given by Krishna, and throughout the embracing of those principles of religions that were able to achieve the highest purpose of life, which is, you know, go back home, back to Godhead. And any comments or questions? Yeah, Jai Baladev. Keep it short, Jai Baladev. Requests.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. I more or less have a comment, so you don't have to answer, so you could, I could that much shorten it. Okay. But you could expand on it if you like also. But in this verse, the one thing that caught my eye is that this child was considered illegitimate. And we see in the material world, people try to make you feel guilty or ashamed because you don't have a particular title behind your name. Oh, you come from a single parent home, you should feel ashamed about yourself. You don't have a PhD, a bachelor's degree, you should feel ashamed about. You don't have name brand clothes, you should feel ashamed about yourself. So there's a quote that says, even though no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. It doesn't matter where you're coming from, all that matters is where you're gone. And therefore Lord Chaitanya says, Jiveta Swarup Hoy Krishneta Nitya Das. The only title or name we need behind us to make ourselves feel good is Nitya Das, eternal servant of Krishna. Mamai Vamso Jiva Loki Jiva Bhuta Sanataha Manashishtani Indriyani Prakatistani Arshati. Krishna says there's greatness within everyone. Why? Because everyone is a part and parcel of Krishna. But they're Manashishtani Indriyani Prakatistani Karshati. They're struggling with the mind and putting all these useless titles and name brands to make themselves feel important. And so the one thing I'd like to end with is that one quote I quoted the other day. It says, surround yourself with the dreamers and the doers, the believers and the thinkers. But most of all, surround yourself with those who see the greatness within you, even when you don't see it yourself. So I don't really have a question, but maybe you could comment on how all these titles are useless and we put too much importance to them when they're all temporary. So maybe you could explain something about that.
Yeah, in one sense, you know, we have to understand from ourselves, but at the same time we have to act given some acknowledgement to others. Like say, you know, although, you know, we're not impersonalists in one sense, that's one something to keep in mind, that we still have to relate with others according to certain etiquettes, and we have to be very much mindful of that. And sometimes, you know, it comes from a bodily designation. Someone is an elder, someone is a father, someone is a teacher, someone is a, you know, like that. So the essence of devotional service is about relationships. It's a relationship with Krishna, the relationship with the things that are Krishna's, the devotees, the paraphernalia, the things that belongs to Krishna. So we have to relate. And because we have to relate, we have to pay attention, you know, to those things. So from ourselves, from our perspective, we try to purify our holding to these designations, the Sarvopadis things. Yes. We hold into these designations, which is simply an expansion of our false ego. So therefore, if we really want to advance, Lord Chaitanya gave us, you know, the mantra, Trinara Pisunichena, Tarora Pishahishuna, Manina, Bananina. So we have to cultivate humility, tolerance, respect to others, which means, you know, according to their designations that they have, we respect them. also sense of all prestige, which means that the designations that I have, or that I think I have, I understand they're false. They're not the real thing. My designation is Gopi Bhartu Kamalapalata, what is it? Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudas. I'm a servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis, like that, the servant of the gopis. So that's the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And that's what we're cultivating. Obviously, it's not, you know, okay, I got it. You know, no, it's a process of purification. So, yeah.
Thank you, Bhu. I was wondering if you could expand a little bit on your final statement and how we can see this section of the Bhagavatam in context of the overall message of the Bhagavatam. For example, for a new person, how do we understand what is Srimad Bhagavatam and how these different pastimes, or maybe even the ninth canto, help fulfill the purpose of the Bhagavatam?
Well, there's all these characters that are part of, you know, the narrations of the Bhagavatam, but the Bhagavatam highlights on those pure devotees. You know, so we hear about, right here we hear about Puru and Bharat. These are successful personalities. And then there are other personalities that are demigods, that are part of the whole scope of the narration, that they're not necessarily on the same level. They're elevated, but not on the same level, and they add to, you know, to highlight how these great personalities that exemplify this Paramdharma, which is what the Bhagavatam is about, you know, how they made their choices according to these things. And what is the arch that they have to follow? You know, because we're going to hear that Bharat Maharaj, he falls down from his position. He neglects that. So there's something that is still that, but you follow the arch, and it just tells you, okay, here's an example. And same with Jayati, same with Puru, same with, you know, all these personalities. Now, we don't hear, you know, I mean, Brihaspati may be in another level, although later on Brihaspati comes down in Chaitanya Lila as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So, you know, by association also with all these great personalities, all these personalities also, you know, become purified. But the Bhagavatam highlight the past tense of, you know, we're hearing about Bharat. Next, we're going to hear about Rantidev. You know, these are these are perfected beings, you know. So the message is still, right, unique. Is the, like, you know, Karunanidhi Prabhu was saying yesterday, is the Amala Purana. And then, anything, Karunanidhi Prabhu?
Yeah, very nice question by Acharya Nishtha. Very nice thing. What I was trying to just add, what you said, very nice. To the thing is that we see there is a nice verse before some couple days back. There is a nice verse in the purport. Khile punya visanti, you know, that verse says, yeah, Kritam Lakan. That verse says, demigods, although they are powerful, they are more elevated than us, and because of their punya, pious activities. So, but still they are imperfect, in a sense, means like when their punya, their pious activities will be depleted, means will decrease. They will come back again to this material world. That means it says they are not perfect. That still they are in imperfect stage. So all this, what is happening, we saw here, you know, characters, you know, Brihaspati character, Chandra characters. So everybody, they are very imperfect. They are not perfect. They are not pure devotee of Krishna. Is the things. And also, there is a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita. Abrahma Bhuvanath Punar Abhruti Narjana. From insignificant of aunt to Lord Brahma, they come back, they are subjected to death. That means they are conditioned. Nobody is unconditional except pure devotee of Krishna. So this is the main things. And I have one question. I want to know the brother of Brihaspati, whose name was something, Utpata, something that it is mentioned here. He is an elder brother or a younger brother to Brihaspati?
He is an older brother.
Elder brother. Thank you.
Yeah. Giridhari Prabhu.
Trying to, as oftentimes meditate on like where we're at in terms of like consciousness, and I mean obviously we're all in different places, but just like in Kali Yuga, getting this the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and practicing bhakti.
Who?
What?
You say who getting the mercy?
Getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya.
Who?
All of us.
All of us. Okay.
Yeah. Anyone practicing Krishna consciousness. And if we, like Maharaj was saying in the Vyasa Puja, I think maybe I was always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna seminar, he said, like simply it's like staying alive in Krishna consciousness, simply practicing Krishna consciousness and maintaining that. And like, every like liberation or something becomes our like right.
Righteous
the kingdom of God is like a rightful claim. So I'm just thinking like what is our position like right now? Like how advanced are we? Like if we're actually as long as we just maintain our Krishna consciousness, we actually are becoming like the most advanced personalities in the universe, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, we always stay humble, but it's the like that's the mercy that we're getting. Like,
yeah, I think our spiritual master isn't someone that, you know, historical greatest personalities in the universe. We're just, you know, mercy case. So we're depending on that. We're depending, I see it this way. There's no chance. There's no chance Krishna will accept my service because he's so mixed with all kind of like yucky stuff, so mixed with pride, with this, with that, with lust, with, you know, all kinds of baggage that is just there. Krishna is served by the most exalted, beautiful, amazing personalities who are, you know, full of affection and love, who's serving in such a positive, you know, pleasing ways. What is it to do with, you know, my niki, you know, like trying to, you know, offer something? How is that he accept? Like, I tell you personally, sometimes I feel every time I worship my Govardhan Shila, you know, the deity of both my wife and I, you know, I feel a little ashamed inside because I know I'm not serving him nicely. You know, when we receive this deity, it was mentioned to me that Govardhan doesn't like to be worshipped as South Vrindavan. He doesn't like that. He wants to remain in Vrindavan. That's where he's happy. And then he accepted coming to the West in the hands of someone that for sure, in his admission, he knows is unqualified to worship him. In fact, the story of me receiving this deity was with that message. The Brahmana that we first asked for the deity, he chastised all of us, including the two spiritual masters that were there helping me to receive, you know. He chastised everybody and reduced me to, you know, like a piece of dirt under a stone in the earth. You know, I mean, it was clear to me, you're not qualified. And nevertheless, he accepted at the end with that message. Why he did that, sometimes I was asking myself. And a realization came. It was because my spiritual master, His Holiness Rumapad Swami, gave his permission. So Krishna obliged him. He didn't do it because, you know, I'm going to be such a nice devotee or whatever, whatever. You know, like, Maharaj Damodar Swami was, you know, telling the Vrijavasi, Pakka Vaishnava, you know, like making, you know, talking a little bit, and he's saying that this is such a good Vaishnava, that I'm such a good Vaishnava, so, you know, give him the Shila. And the Brahmana just like chastised, you know, all of us. This is Bhagavan! What are you talking about? My body will be destroyed if I give it to him. Or his body, some body will be destroyed. He was saying, we couldn't understand the whole thing because it was like, he was saying, you know, Nasta Sarira! You know, screaming. This old sadhu, Brijavasi, screaming like, Bhagavan! Nasta Sarira! With his finger pointing like this, you know. Body will be destroyed. But he accepted to come. Why? Because he's obliging his devotee. His devotee. And because my Guru Maharaj keeps me under his wing with affection, then Krishna keeps me with affection. So he tolerates my so-called worship because he's obliging the affection of my spiritual master. So that's, I think that's the position of many of us. So the worst thing that we can do is trying to be offensive to or neglectful to that personality who is giving us Krishna by his affection. Krishna is obliging him. What do you think?
Right. I understand, like, that position of how fallen we are. Like, I'm just trying to highlight the mercy that we're receiving more so. I guess I said it a little bit wrong, like becoming advanced personalities, you know, it's not ever good to think of ourselves as advanced. But I'm saying that to highlight actually the position that we have received.
Yeah, I guess that you're saying that we're receiving, even the demigods
right.
Don't, you know, necessarily have access to it. That's why it is said that the demigods are standing in line to take birth in ISKCON, you know.
Right, and if we maintain the proper mood, we are becoming highly qualified personalities. If we do follow the process properly and we receive the mercy.
It is said that, you know, all the qualities of the demigods appears, becomes ornaments of an advanced Vaishnava.
Yeah.
Thanks. I was just comment also that that verse by Lord Brahma, my dear Lord, anyone who patiently waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently tolerating the reactions of his past misdeeds, is certainly eligible for liberation because it has become his rightful claim. So on the one hand, it's not that just by maintaining or externally surviving in Krishna consciousness that one goes back to Godhead. It's more the activities of bhakti are so powerful that they can awaken love of God. By love of Godhead, one goes back to Godhead. So that verse is saying he becomes eligible for liberation, but to actually come to the platform of a devotee, that is a very high thing. That is a very exalted thing. We're practicing to come to the level of a Vaishnav or devotee. So that also helps keep us humble, because we know where we are, where we've come from, and also what the actual standard is. And this is what our acharyas have explained very carefully. So just wanted to
Very quick, because we're already past time, and you know, you like.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that was a very beautiful answer you gave, and I'm glad you told me that story. So I'd like to hear stories about devotees. So that was very inspiring, the story, especially with regards to your spiritual master. And so thank you for that answer. And so I'm kind of, you know, just pretty much just expanding on what you and Charanisha said. There's a in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's called Shishashika, but it's obviously more than those prayers. But there's a verse that says, Primeta swabhav yaham primeta sambandha, se mane Krishna modanahi prima ganda, that those who are actually advanced think that that they're nahi prima ganda, that they have not one drop of love for Krishna. And one last comment, in the pastime of Keshava Kashmiri, I don't know where it is, but in that pastime, there's one purport that Prabhupada mentions. This is the last purport of that chapter. And he says, he quotes Narottam Das Thakur, and he says the best qualification for accepting Krishna consciousness is to think oneself the most disqualified. So that's the qualification. Like you said, our disqualification, that's the qualification. So that's why I really appreciated your answer. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Parantara
Shriman Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari.